ready for a hot one, Keith?
I'm always ready for a hot one, Jones. I kind of melt. I'll be honest. I do run hot normally, and then when it's 95 degrees with no wind and significant humidity, I sweat a lot. That's why I got my my cooling towel.
Yeah, you got that back today. That was.
I'm gonna go soak that in ice water in the next break.
The Twitch chat loved that yesterday. They thought that was very cool.
Yeah. They lit up for it. They're like, "Where do I get one? That's so sweet." They're like, "That's Keith's signature look.
You look so awesome."
Yeah.
Where do I get one?
Listen, it's radio.
It's really cool.
We happen to be on Twitch and YouTube, but it is an audio medium still, Jones. And so
yeah.
I'm not really going for looks at this point.
I'm gonna tell
you, for comfort.
It's feeling hot early today. We've had some other hot days, but it kind of sneaks up on you.
You think this could be the hottest?
By the time we're getting out of here at 2 o'clock, it's like snuck up on you a little bit. This one's feeling hot early, yeah. I'm gonna tell you.
Well, the boys are in full pads down there too. They're gonna be feeling it.
They are padded up.
Yeah, they are padded up today. Back to back padded up practices.
You think we see some actual hits? We didn't get any hits yesterday.
We really
see some hits?
No.
No?
No. No. I don't think so.
What are they saving that for? Joint practices?
Yeah.
Next get them on the ground.
Save it for the Commanders.
Kill somebody.
Yep, that'll be next week.
Okay. Well, we got our eyes here. Day 6 of Patriots training camp. It is the second day in full pads. It's going to be a hot one.
Mm-hmm.
We are brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Tom Curran's here to break it all down on a Tommy Tuesday. He's going to join us probably closer to 1 o'clock
Okay. Based
on the practice schedule for the Patriots. So not high noon, but still a Tommy Tuesday. A lot of discussion around Happy Gilmore 2. I almost watched it again last night, Keith.
Well, you're getting there.
I'm inching up on it. I got close.
If you go to Netflix, they are promoting the heck out of it. It is right there, right off the rip.
So we figured
everyone's talking about it.
Well, a lot of people are talking about it. I feel like I'm almost about to miss my window to watch it. But we are going to tear off all the Sandler movies. I mean all the Sandler movies today on a Tier Tuesday.
We should start now just to make sure that we get to all of the films. I even cut a couple out because I was like, maybe people haven't seen
them. What didn't make the cut? Just a second. What was on the cutting room floor?
Well,
I was shocked. I gasped when I saw the list. I was not ready for the list in the show doc.
He's
today.
In a lot of films. He's been a working actor since the early 90s, mid-90s, I guess. And so there's a couple cameos he has.
So in, we're
Happy
not,
Madison Productions.
We're not worrying about his appearance, as I learned from you on Cosby Show. We're not getting anything like that.
We're not doing TV shows.
Okay, just
no SNL, no Cosby Show. I think he might appear in Deuce Bigelow for a moment. We're not doing Deuce Bigelow, but we're going to do plenty of others.
Okay.
I mean, it's close to 40 films. The guy's had an absolute Hall of Fame career.
We'll
tear those bad boys off.
Yeah, quite.
Including the latest one where you have to sit out. You haven't seen it, but Billy and I can weigh in on Happy Gilmore 2.
Yes, and where that ranks
or where that should be tiered.
We, of course, want all your thoughts on that. It'll be a Tier Tuesday. All, and I mean all.
Yeah.
The Sandler movies coming your way at 11:30. Plus a Kiefer Madness. Last I knew, we had narrowed it down to two. I'm not sure which way you're leaning, Keith.
We do have two. I'll be honest. The one that Billy sent me scared me. So it's going to be sort of up to Nick. If Nick thinks that one's better than the other one that
Nick,
I gave him,
we know what one we want today,
okay,
Nick.
Fine,
but it is a Kiefer Madness at 12:45.
Yep.
With Jones and Keith here in Foxborough. Lots of ways to get in touch. 617-779-7937. Interact. Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. You can watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And on YouTube, you can watch there. You can also chat on YouTube. Maybe send Keith a nice note about it. What do you call that thing again?
My cool towel?
Your cool towel.
Yeah.
Good place to send Keith direct messages about his cool towel. You can also listen live.
Keeps
on
the body temperature at a proper spot.
Properly regulated. You don't want to overheat.
I was overheating yesterday.
Yeah.
I'll be honest.
You can also listen on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Bring it on your phone or get it on your phone. It's free. It's easy. You can bring it with you anywhere. You heard Mike Vrabel yesterday talking about Will Campbell. He was asked directly about Campbell. He kind of made it a broader answer. Well, you know, anybody in the trenches, I want them to keep their feet. Don't want to be on the ground. Don't want to see them off balance. Bad news. The first drill with Keon White yesterday, Will Campbell knocked off balance. The exact thing that Mike Vrabel said he didn't want to see yesterday. First day with the pads on. Can't make that excuse anymore for the offensive linemen. They now have their pads on, and it's not just defensive linemen speeding around them. So you can't make that excuse. Meanwhile, you have Morgan Moses continuing to struggle out there. Mike Giardi had a note yesterday. Whoever is at right tackle, Moses, or when he's on a pitch count, Demontre Jacobs, they're having trouble blocking Kalavon Chasen
who I understand is having a good camp.
Yeah, hey now.
But he's on his third team and largely considered a first-round bust.
But this might be the spot for him.
Could be.
He might be like Mike Vrabel. Like Mike
Maybe.
Vrabel didn't flash till he got to New England.
That's
didn't flash
true.
In Pittsburgh.
That's true. No one on this team as of right now can block him. Andy Hart said yesterday on WEEI Afternoons, I've seen the social video out there today, he's getting a lot of flack for it. But he said the offensive line looks worse than it did a year ago.
Oh, my God.
So what's going on with the O-line in year two for Drake May?
Be.
That's what he said.
They started Michael C. Jordan last year on the offensive line.
That's what the man said.
That better not be the case. No, I'll tell you what. The tackles we knew going in were going to be, I thought were going to be stronger, to be honest, than the center was an unknown and left guard, and it was like Cole Strange. They drafted Wilson. They signed Bradbury, and it was maybe some combination of that. Mike Onwenu, maybe the one guy you're like, all right, he's your right guard. You go from there. Morgan Moses, he's missed a little bit of time in the last couple of years, but he's been in the league a long time. I thought you at least got a NFL starting right tackle, and I didn't even think too much of it where he wasn't out there for all the reps because you're like, all right, maybe they know what they have in him. He's older than everybody else they have on the line. You got to try to maintain this guy, make sure he's ready for the season. But then when you find out that when he is out there, he's getting blown by, not ideal.
Don't love it.
Not ideal. Will Campbell, I'm way more like, give him the benefit of the doubt. You're a rookie. Ease your way in. As long as it's not all bad reps,
and
which it isn't.
And in fairness, he ended arrow up yesterday.
Yeah.
He had what Phil Perry, NBC Sports Boston, referred to as a mixed bag. So you're right. It wasn't all bad, but it started bad.
Yeah. No, it started bad. And then this would be the glass half full look at it. Maybe Keon White is primed for a big year, and maybe Ka'Lavon Chasen.
Just bookend.
Keon White, maybe.
New England sack exchange.
Chasen, I wouldn't put a lot of stock into yet.
Okay.
Let's see it. But Keon White, haven't we been waiting for him to kind of break through and be a pretty good player?
Yes.
We love what he says. We love his attitude. The guy seems like an absolute maniac who only cares about football and playing violent football. So I like that part of it. And so maybe we'll look back on it midway through the season and say, man, Will Campbell actually had a tougher challenge in camp than we gave him credit for. You know, yeah, it's not Max Crosby, it's not TJ Watt, but those guys are, you know, defensive player of the year candidates. But maybe Keon White is an above average pass rusher. And so, yeah, he's not going to win every single matchup. That's sort of the glass half full approach where you're like, all right, maybe the level of competition is pretty good on that side.
So, look, I would just be fair on this. I think the receivers, and Diggs has had a couple of down days, but I'm willing to read into it and say the receivers have caught my eye a little bit. Kyle Williams made a play on day one. Pop Douglas looks pretty good.
Yep.
Steph Diggs looked great the first 2 days, maybe less so the last two, but at least he looks healthy. Like, there's no question to me he's healthy and ready to go. And so I consider that a good thing. Kayshawn Booty has jumped out. And so I like what I've seen out of the receivers. I still wouldn't call it a great receiver room, but I would acknowledge that from what we've seen through 5 days of camp, one day of pads, today will be day two, I think the receivers are probably a slight upgrade from what I expected coming in, and I didn't expect much.
Right.
I also didn't expect much out of the offensive line, and I would say that one looks like a slight downgrade. Like, Jared Wilson, the rookie out of Georgia, has a little bit of buzz around him at camp. Is he a center? Is he a guard? It feels like, just judging by what we see in terms of where he is mixing in on the depth chart, and some of the buzz from the beat writers is he's one of their best five offensive linemen. He's probably going to fit in somewhere. Is it left guard? Is it center? Maybe it's even right guard. But he's going to mix in somewhere. That's a guy with some buzz at camp. We've seen back-to-back days with failed exchanges between he and Drake May.
I know.
So it's like even one of the guys who you kind of feel good about in this camp and is getting a little bit of buzz, there's a few knocks on him. So if I'll be consistent, the receivers are like a slight upgrade.
Yeah.
I still don't think it's a great group. I never thought the offensive line was a great group, but that through 5 days is a slight downgrade.
Yeah, it might be. How about this, though? Week one last season, obviously things changed. They had 1,000 different combinations at offensive line. Mm-hmm. Last year, do you want to play guess the starting lineup week one?
Well, I might be at a bit of an unfair advantage because I heard Shimon Wiggy talking about this last week. So the left tackle was Okorafor.
Yep, he later quit.
later that game, literally that game, he quit. He was just like, I'm out of here.
Quit. So their starting left
not
tackle?
Not for me.
Their starting left tackle? Quit.
Okay, you just said the name, but I did again hear Shimon Wiggy talking about this. I believe the left guard was the other Michael Jordan.
Yeah, well, not even the other Michael Jordan, the third Michael Jordan.
I'm sorry, not even Michael B. Jordan.
No, you're in the NFL, and you have two guys with your name way more famous. But yes, the other Michael, the third Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, the third.
He was a guard.
I believe the starting
at
center.
Guard, Michael Jordan.
I believe the starting center was Andrews, right?
Yeah, so David Andrews before he got hurt and in his last season. The other guard was Layden Robinson.
It wasn't Onwenu?
Yeah, Michael Onwenu started, but I think he started a tackle in that game.
Ah,
so you had Onwenu out of position. You had Okorafor, who later quit. You had Michael Jordan, who you later cut. You had Layden Robinson, who I don't think would start on this team.
No. He's probably not even going to make this team.
Right, not even make this team. Right, so I think maybe they look worse. Like, I'll take Andy Hart's word for it. He's been at every camp, I think, since 2000. So I'll take his word for what guys look like through the first week. And they might look worse right now, but I still feel like on paper.
And I know the games aren't played on paper.
What?
But on paper, they are better. I think Onwenu at guard and whoever wins the guard battle over there is better. I think, let's see, maybe Morgan Moses is cash. I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, Morgan Moses and Will Campbell, I think, should be better than Onwenu and Okorafor.
I agree with that.
So that remains to be seen.
They might not have been so far in camp, but
yes,
I agree.
Yes,
but I agree that they should be.
Saying.
Yes.
The starting they put down for this three wide receivers started in week one. Obviously, I forget exactly what formation they had for the first snap of the game, but I'm looking at this. They had three wide receivers listed as starters. Do you want to guess who they were?
Yeah.
This is week one against Cincinnati.
Was Polk one of them?
No,
he wasn't even.
No,
I know it wasn't
was
Bourne
not listed. No,
I don't think it would have been Booty.
No, it was not.
Who the hell am I forgetting off that?
It's pretty amazing. These are
Pop Douglas.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Pop Douglas was one of them. Yes, so he'll probably be back. And then these two guys will most likely be replaced by
KJ Osborne.
Yes,
and then who?
Tyquan Thornton. So they started Pop, Tyquan Thornton, KJ Osborne. Tyquan Thornton and KJ Osborne couldn't even make it through the season on a 4-win team with horrible receivers.
Definitely not.
So if you switch those guys out with Steph Diggs. And whoever emerges from Kyle Williams, Kayshon Booty, Kendrick Bourne, the receiving room is significantly better than a year ago. You're hoping that the offensive line is as well, but that doesn't seem like as sure of a thing, right? Like just walking onto the field, Steph Diggs greater than KJ Osborne or Kendrick Osborne and Tyquan Thornton. Like just those, that's an addition by subtraction. Just not even having those guys on the roster anymore.
Yeah. So look, I do think it's an upgrade in both those rooms, but one we've seen on the field, the other we haven't. The receivers have looked better. How much better? We can debate, but they do look better than I expected and certainly than they were a year ago. O-line has not been that. That would be Will Campbell, who we'll get to here in a moment. And also on the other side, Morgan Moses, the veteran right tackle who is on at best a pitch count and at worst can't block Kalavod Chasen on his third team, former bust of a first-round
pick.
Or
maybe he found something. Maybe Le'Veon Chasen has been unlocked.
Could be.
Finally.
It could be. It just took Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
To unlock him. That's very possible, Keith.
That's what I'm banking on.
You just heard the whistle. They are officially getting started here today, day six at training camp again in in Foxborough.
Here we go. Already hot.
I'm doing my unofficial attendance. Both me and Mike Reese are reporting that Austin Hooper is out here.
Hoop.
We have not seen Austin Hooper yet. He was on PUP.
Was that why the crowd was going, Hoop?
You heard him really giving him a good chant.
Yeah.
I'm still working my way through the roster, Keith. I have not seen Christian Gonzalez out there today. I wouldn't expect much positive news on Gonzo here today.
So let's hope they don't lose their second-best player today at camp. First full pad of practice knocked out the best player. Second full pad of practice is right now.
We both agree that would be Steph Diggs, right? Based on, on our list, we agree that would be Diggs.
Yes, top five current Patriots.
I was about to say Drake May, and then you're like, no, he wasn't even on my list.
No, Drake May is probably more important, but we were talking about just straight up best.
So we'll continue to monitor attendance here on day six at camp. But the big news yesterday was Gonzo leaving early. I think it's going to be real hard for them to win any games without him on the field, Keith, defensively. They're certainly in a better spot to do it. I also think it's way premature to assume he's going to miss any games, even if he has a fairly significant hamstring strain, and he didn't like completely tear the thing. If he just has a fairly significant hamstring strain, he should be back certainly by the time the year gets going.
Yeah, and then he's one of those guys that you really don't need to see much of him during preseason games. Like, they have a handful of guys that if they missed all three preseason games, you'd be like, all right, fine. Just get ready for the regular season. You know, plenty of other guys have battles to win and positions to lock up and all that stuff. But Gonzalez isn't one of them, so you just want him in the best shape possible for when the regular season rolls around.
So, I feel good about him being out there for, like, week one.
Yeah.
If you miss an off season, and you know, not that he hasn't been putting in work in OTAs and on his own, but if you're missing time at training camp with a soft tissue injury, those are the kind of things that do nag and pop back up, and especially if you rush back from them too quickly. So I think before we even fully know what the injury is, and I don't think I've seen any updates about it this morning, or I certainly haven't. Maybe they're out there and I've missed them. But even we don't fully know what it is. We certainly know what it looked like yesterday. I would imagine timeline-wise, he should be ready week one. The question is,
I would hope so.
Is he full go then? And is this something that hangs around and continues to bother him and impact him when he's playing? I don't think you're out of the woods on that one.
No.
But as long as it's not a significant tear, he should be out there timeline-wise, I would think,
and if you want
week one, which is like 6 weeks away.
Yeah, it is. It is sneaking out. It's early this year, Jones. Labor Day is September 1st, so then the season starts that Thursday, and then the Patriots play that Sunday at 1 on the 7th against the Raiders. And if you want to look at it this way, too, if you really want to like get ahead of ourselves, the Raiders don't have that prototypical number one receiver that you'd say, oh, they need Gonzalez for, whereas the next couple of weeks, Dolphins and Steelers, he's going to be – the whole secondary is going to be tested a lot more in those games than they would be against the Raiders. The Raiders, it's really going to be about who covers Brock Bowers. Like, who's going to be the guy lined up on him more so than any individual wide receiver.
That is a good point. Twitch chat wants to know, if Gonzo weren't ready to go week one, how would that impact man-to-man-to-man?
Well, a lot of times they don't let you interview injured players. Now, I don't know if that was just a Belichick thing or if that's a Patriots thing in general. But
wouldn't you assume most things that were Belichick things will be Vrabel things?
Kind of, yeah. I do.
Not all. I mean, no. I'm not saying they're exactly the same. But again, this is why I do consider Vrabel part of the Bill tree. He still learned more stuff, and he's more similar to Bill, I think, than any other coach. And so I'd imagine we'll find that out this year.
Yeah.
But I'd imagine from a media standpoint, that's what we're getting.
If we don't get man-to-man-to-man.
Well, week one of all weeks, Keith.
Wow.
People are going to be like tuning in. They're going to be like, where is it? I've been waiting all offseason for it. Like, we need him healthy for
week one. Then week two, we'll ask him 20 questions. 20 rapid-fire questions.
Yeah, yeah. You think you got out of the first week, Christian?
No, we have a lot more.
No.
Did we ask him 10 each time or 5? It was just 5? 5 crazy questions?
Oh, no. It was 5 each. We asked 10.
Was it 10 questions? Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
I had trouble coming up with 5 every week. I had to crowdsource them. I can't take the full blame for all. Some of these were Twitter inspired.
Yeah, some of them
were suggestions from other people in my life. But yes, I it was tough to come up with 5 every week.
They were submitted.
But we soldier through for you. And we do this for you, the people out there.
I think it was the third week you asked him what show he was on. He did nail it. I think the first one caught him off guard. The second one, I don't think he had done the research on.
What show are you on right now?
I forgot about that.
That's a good question.
Yeah, a great question.
Not everybody knows.
I mean, sometimes the listening audience changes all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
And so you got to reset. Yeah. You got to tease. You got to do things like this. Yep. And I was just making sure Christian Gonzalez knew where he was.
But yeah, I think it's the second, maybe the third week where he actually learned that it was Jones and Keith.
And he didn't sound super confident when he
answered
it.
I don't think he felt great about his answer, but he did finally answer.
Did he say Keith?
Maybe Keith.
Well, yeah, we'll
accept it.
I would have taken Jones, or if he just had one of our names, I would have been like, you're good.
Yeah,
you're good.
And you know that somebody was just mouthing it to him. Somebody,
Jones and Keith?
Keith.
He's like, yeah, that's what it is. No, but I do look forward to that. We haven't heard that we're not talking to him this year.
No, heard that we're not.
Could be more Gonzo.
But so that is something I hadn't considered yesterday with all the discussion about Gonzalez and his injury.
It's exciting.
What does that mean from man to man to man? And I like your point, Keith. If he does happen to miss a week or two, we're just the next time we interview him after that, we'll just backlog all those questions. Those questions don't just disappear.
No. Twitch.
Christian, you come on this show every single week here on WEEI. What is the name of this radio show?
Couldn't tell you.
I do like that he even like fake it. I couldn't tell you. Don't even know where to start on that one.
I mean, he should have been like Dingo and the Baby. Like, he should have just like made something up, but he's like, I couldn't tell you.
Couldn't tell you.
You got me there. I got to tip my cap to you guys. You got me on that one.
Would we have accepted Joe and Keith?
Yeah. Joe and Keith. That's for the Twitch chat.
Absolutely would have accepted Joe and Keith.
That's in the ballpark.
Yes. Okay, well, that's the latest, as we know it, on Christian Gonzalez. Offensive line struggling. Andy Hart says it looks worse than it did a year ago.
Man.
Campbell had a rough first rep yesterday with Keon White, though he did rebound after that. Morgan Moses apparently doesn't look good out here, getting constantly replaced. And when he's on the field, can't block Kalavon Chasen. Your thoughts, 617-779-7937. Speaking of Drake May,
yes,
and Christian Gonzalez,
mm-hmm.
both of them are talented players under 25 on this New England Patriots roster. ESPN came out with a rank. You know I like a good rank, Keith, a good list. Where do the Patriots slot in the NFL in talent under 25? The answer may surprise you, along with people expecting big things out of Drake May this year. We'll get to all of it right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Hell yeah.
Nice. A lot of good juice around Drake May, according
Listen,
to Peter Schrager on McAfee yesterday.
We've seen it firsthand, all the good juice for Drake May. It's going to be a sweaty day. It's going to be real sweaty, but that's fine. I'm going to rise above it.
I'm
not going to let that.
You're already rising above it. What do you mean you're going to rise above it?
I'm going to continue to rise above it.
Did the Twitch chat bully you into taking off your little sweat rag there? What do you call it? I keep forgetting the name of it. A cool rag?
A cool towel.
Your cool towel.
A cool towel.
They bully you out of it?
I'm saving it. No, I haven't soaked it in ice water yet. I'm going to do that probably around 11, then come back out here and put it over my head like
nice.
I did before.
That's the way to do
Lower
it.
Lower the body temperature like a lizard, and then I'll be in good shape. And the rest of the day, I'll be fine.
We'll get you an update on Drake May momentarily. Here's the full attendance. I finally was able to go through the full roster.
Did you do that during the break? That was good stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can never be too sure until they're really all out there stretching. Like, you see guys coming and going off the field. So me and Mike Reese are reporting that Austin Hooper is out here, which indicates he's off the PUP list.
Good. Another target for Drake May.
Me and Andrew Callahan are both reporting that there's no Gonzo out there or Carlton Davis today.
Yeah, this is not a great...
Me and Andrew Callahan of the Boston Herald can both report that. So what was supposed to be a strength of the team, your cornerback group, again, they're out there. It's now the fourth missed practice for Carlton Davis. They're down he and Gonzo in the cornerback room, which yesterday meant you had Alex Austin, Marcus Jones, and Marcellus Dial, your guy.
Well, Dial did make a nice play, and he celebrated it, which I enjoy. You know, you celebrate your successes in life, not just on the football field, Jones. You should be allowed to do that.
You should.
Yeah, no, it goes from being a strength of the team to a weakness. But that happens with any team, right? That's not specific to the Patriots. If you told me the Buffalo Bills lost their top two corners at camp, you'd be like, all right, well, they're not as good. And so now that's what you're dealing with. But I look at it another step further, because even if those two guys are ready to go for the regular season, and fingers crossed that they are, it's just several practices where Steph Diggs, Kyle Williams, Kayshon Booty don't get to go up against
tougher
competition.
It's a great point.
Competition.
And look, we don't even know what Davis is dealing with.
No, we don't.
So we assume we know what Christian Gonzalez. It looked like a hamstring yesterday. The beat writers are all calling it a left leg injury. It's what it looked like. So I think we have a good idea what happened to Gonzo because it happened in front of us.
Yeah. Davis?
It was NFI. It was away from the facility. We don't even know what was going on with Carlton Davis.
Yeah.
And so, you know, is it a soft tissue thing? Is it the same kind of thing that's going to bark at Gonzalez like we were talking about? I think that's a bad place to start. Doesn't mean they won't be ready week one. Doesn't mean they can't be the best cornerback duo in football, which we think they might be.
Yeah.
It just means they're off to a bad start. Mark Daniels had a few notes on the roster. No Tavai out there as well.
That's a shame.
He says no Josh Farmer. This is the first one I want to dispute.
Okay, Josh, now we're talking.
Josh Farmer is here.
Is he? Is he on the field?
He's on a side field. He is not on either of the two main field. Well, that's a great question, Keith. But we can tell you with confidence, Josh Farmer, the rookie at Florida State, is here. What's he up to, and why is he not out there with the rest of the team? I don't know, but he's here.
Let me paint the picture, Jones. We are high above. We're not on the top floor of the stadium, but I think we're on the
we're up there, though.
Second high. So we're high above.
We might have been higher than Kraft's helicopter yesterday. We're up there.
Greg,
yeah,
bro.
Thank you. Thank
we're in the,
you.
Crow, we're in the crow's nest.
We are, yes.
We're in the crow's nest. And so we're looking down on the two practice fields. We are also looking down on the helipad, which has been discussed quite a bit during training camps this year and years past.
Mm.
All of a sudden, we noticed that there was a player by the helipad, which is not, the field.
He kind of looked lost. He looked like maybe he forgot where the actual practice fields were.
Because the stadium and like where the locker room is, it kind of spits right out onto the field. You have to go another way around a fence to get over to the helicopter pad. So
So I don't know. It's a bit of a mystery, but we did spot a player wandering around as though he was lost.
Yeah.
So there is that.
So he's here. I would, again, we take official attendance on this show.
No doubt.
We can report. He's here.
Yeah.
What's he doing? And, you know, whether he's cleared to go today, I have no idea.
Right.
Meanwhile, that was a bullish answer from Pete Schrager, good info guy,
Schrag,
on McAfee yesterday about Drake May. The buzz is real about a year or two leap, Keith.
Yeah. I mean, and that's positive. And I think overall he has looked good. Like, I think, obviously, you know, a turnover here or there or whatever, but it's been several days of practice so far. I think he's looked good. There's been times where we've questioned the offensive line. Clearly, that's how we started the show. There's been a few drops by some of his receivers. But Drake May himself, I would say, arrow pointing up. You know, there was questions in OTAs. Remember, like, back in OTAs, there was a couple of sloppy practices, one where he didn't complete a very high percentage of passes. And we're like, all right, well, it's a place to build off of. And now since then, I would say he's been pretty good, right? Like, I don't think there's been a day where we've been like, oh, bad day for Drake May. It's been a bad day for some of the backup quarterbacks. It's been a bad day for some of the offensive linemen. It's been just sort of an average day for a handful of players. I would say overall Drake May has been one of their best players day in and day out.
So Callahan tabulated the numbers through five practices. It's day six today. Jones and Keefe in Foxborough for Patriots training camp. Pads are on. We're brought to you by McFarland Energy, as we have been throughout training camp. Drake May is 35 for 47. That is, by my math, 74% completion percentage.
Pretty high.
That's good. There was only one day, and it was Saturday. We weren't in attendance for it, where he really pushed the ball downfield. Right. Yesterday, he was only 5 out of 6, and I say only, meaning not a ton of attempts. They didn't throw much yesterday. It was a heavy run practice. He has, by Callahan's tabulations, Keefe, taken 15 would-be sacks in training camp.
Yikes.
So
they're going up against the steel curtain, so it makes sense.
That's true. Keon White and Kalavon Chasen. So, you know, I would say that May's been very accurate. It's hard to know what that would look like in a game situation, and even when he is allowed to make plays, there are going to be other plays where maybe those aren't going to happen in a real game, which again underscores the offensive line and the slow start that they're off to. So I would say that's not very encouraging.
And completion percentage is certainly a stat that can be very misleading. You know, depending on what your offense is, you talk about like a lot of these checkdowns. Like, so even last year, I don't know if anybody – I think people were encouraged by Drake May. And you're like, all right, this is what he could be. But no one's going to be like, the guy had an unbelievable season, and he completed 66% of his passes.
Correct.
You know?
I think the way I would say it is there were people who thought he didn't belong on an NFL field as a rookie. They thought he wasn't developed enough to do that.
That was dumb.
So in that way, he exceeded expectations. But right, I mean, I think he was fine, nothing special, needs to win more games, needs to turn it over less. I think we'd agree on that.
Tua last year completed 73% of his passes.
Yeah, and they were all like to Achan and Jonnu
Smith. That's what I'm saying.
One foot behind the line of scrimmage.
And nobody would say he had a great year.
Correct.
So yeah.
Correct. So that is, I think, encouraging for May, discouraging for the O-line. ESPN came out today, Keith. Our guy, Aaron Schatz.
Schatz. Yeah.
Came out with his top rankings of talent under 25. It's a way to measure young talent.
The Jordan Hudson.
On teams throughout the league. The Jordan Hudson list.
Yep.
Compiled by ESPN. The Patriots a year ago were 25th on that list. Not a lot of young talent on the squad.
Seems kind of high. I guess that was Gonzo, right? They were
probably
on Gonzo.
Yeah, and maybe they were even factoring in Drake May to a degree.
Yeah.
This year, the Patriots have moved from 25 to 7 on that list.
That's a big jump.
For some context, the teams they trail, Houston, a playoff team a year ago. Seattle, 10-win team a year ago. Washington in the NFC title game a year ago. The Giants were 4th, not good. The Bears were 5th, not good. The Lions were 6th. Patriots check in at 7th. Other teams in the top 10, Jacksonville and Tennessee, not good. Chargers in the playoffs a year ago. So I think that's not a bad list to be on, to be honest.
No, not at all.
Five other playoff teams, something like that?
But what this speaks to is 3 years ago, you were drafting in the middle of the first round and you crushed your pick.
Yep.
In Gonzalez. The last 2 years, you've picked in the top 4. And so Drake May at least projects to be pretty good. And then Will Campbell's an unknown, but I think for the sake of this list, they'll be like, oh, he's a top 5 pick. And he was the consensus top lineman in the draft. So even if, you know, everybody wouldn't have taken him 4th overall, he was going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. So you
just summarized it pretty good. Gonzalez and Campbell are their quote-unquote blue-chip players.
Yeah.
They say May is a very promising young quarterback who turns 23 August 30th. He ranks 17th in QBR last season despite subpar receiver and O-line play. The young talent is here to save the offense, he writes.
It better be.
First-round rookie Will Campbell is 21. Third-round rookie Jared Wilson is 22. At receiver, they have 22-year-old rookie Kyle Williams, plus 23-year-old Kayshawn Booty and 24-year-old DeMario Douglas.
Yeah.
They may even be able to get something out of 2024 second-round pick Jalen Polk, well, he writes, who had a troubling rookie season, but is 23 years old with plenty of potential. I would disagree with most of that sentence.
But throw Henderson in there, too. They get to him.
So I was surprised he didn't at all. He said one more leading young player is 23-year-old Christian Gonzalez, second-team All-Pro, who covered opposing number one receivers more often than any other corner in the league last year. He does differentiate. He says there's good young talent on offense. There's less of it on defense.
Yeah.
Which I guess is backwards from how we think about the full roster since they brought in so many free agents and spent so much on defense. But no, moving from 25 to 7?
Yeah, that's good.
Doesn't guarantee anything for this year, but it does tell you, thank you, it does tell you that maybe, just maybe, they're replenishing the young talent. We were having this conversation yesterday when Orlovsky was going off on it, and now here's another thing emphasizing it.
But that also makes sense when you look at it. The defense is more of a sure thing because they have more established guys. The offense has a bunch of guys that are unproven, and they could easily go in one direction or the other. Like, we don't know what kind of pro Will Campbell, Travion Henderson, and Will Campbell are going to be. We also don't really know to what extent Drake May is going to be, right? Whereas on defense, handful of guys, you can kind of predict what kind of season they're going to have. So, you know, I think the drafts have been, I don't want to say, I mean, we'll see. It's TBD with this year. Last year, it's really just the quarterback you got. You know, like they screwed that up. I mean,
well, Jalen Polk has lots of potential.
Yeah, but they could have drafted Ladd McConkey.
Yep.
And then where would they rank on this list?
Oh.
They had an all-pro wideout.
Maybe
number one.
Yeah,
seriously. But it's really hinging on Gonzalez, May, and Will Campbell, which if you're just plucking three guys under 25 off of each roster, that's a pretty good spot to be in. And three very, very important, maybe the three most important positions.
One more update here on attendance. Mego notes that Carlton Davis is here.
Okay.
He's here, but
not a helipad. Like,
not participating.
Farmer?
I have not laid eyes on him, but I'd say it's a good sign he's here.
Okay, good.
It's a bad sign he's not participating, but I think that's certainly a little better than the guy's not even present.
Sure.
So we'll add that to the list. Both he and Gonzo not participating out there today. 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on Drake May, the year two leap. Your thoughts on the young talent on this roster and the offensive line off to a poor start by Andrew Callahan of the Boston Herald's tabulations. They've already allowed 15 sacks through 5 days and counting. We'll keep our eyes on team drills once they get going here at day six of Patriots training camp. And coming up next, let's get to maybe the wildest and at this moment maybe the most interesting story in the NFL. That's next. Adam Schefter yesterday on McAfee. We got to this late in the show, Keith.
Yeah.
Wild story.
I like how he said tiptoeing around it.
He said tap dancing.
The other thing is, well, he did say tiptoe at first.
Tap dancing, tiptoeing, sashaying around it. I don't know what the implication was there from Schefter.
Christian Wilkins just getting very familiar with some of his teammates, that's all. A little smooch here, a little toe tickle there.
So the only reason I find this interesting, number one, he was a Patriots target in free agency a year ago.
Yeah.
The Raiders release him. It seemed like out of nowhere, but we're starting to get context that it was very much out of somewhere.
Well, they kind of try to put on there that, oh, he didn't rehab his foot injury correctly.
Correct.
So he's out based on that, which he then filed a grievance against. And now you're finding out there was weird stuff in the locker room, which we still don't even, I don't know if they've even scratched the surface of, if you will, of what's going on there.
He was scratching something.
He was. It might have been Tootsies of teammates. Yeah, great feet, whatever it might be. But, listen, he's been in the NFL for a while. Like he's played six seasons.
Have you seen some of the videos going around about him back to Clemson?
Yeah.
Like, you know, checking the oil of an opponent.
He wouldn't be the first guy to do that.
Nope. There was a video of him and Josh Allen grabbing below the waist.
No doubt.
And so you're right. He wouldn't be the first player to do that, but an awful lot of videos emerged of him yesterday and
so
a handful.
You get your foot up in the air.
A handful, no pun intended,
yep,
of incidents from Christian Wilkins over the years. And the only reason I find it interesting is because they were interested a year ago. Vrabel was talking about him the other day. He's like, I know him well, good kid. And you have to wonder if the Patriots had an interest level, still have an interest level, if they feel like he's a fit. and or a player that they're looking at added because he is very talented, and he was a high-priced free agent 1 year ago.
He was a Massachusetts native. He's only 29 years old. He's been productive in the NFL, and maybe you get him on a little bit of a deal. Maybe there's good value here at this point.
It's
stock
gonna be
is low.
It's going to be a lot of bit of a deal based on some of the stories coming out.
The question is, do I want Christian Wilkins? The question is, does Keon White want Christian Wilkins? Does some of these guys like Harold Landry and Milton Williams, do they want Christian Wilkins on the team? I don't know. I mean, maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know if some of these guys, I'm trying to look back. He played with the Dolphins from 19 to 23, and then he played with the Raiders last year. So what was that, Spillane? You would have been teammates with Spillane?
Yep, that's a good – I mean, yeah, there's quite a few Raiders here, right? That kid Epps was from the Raiders. I think Chasen was on the Raiders last year.
So, yeah, he's got a few guys like that he would know.
They could definitely pull the locker room about Christian Wilkins if Vrabel wanted.
Like, are you guys interested in this player? They're like, no, we are not.
No, we are not interested. Thank you very much. The thing to me that's always felt weird about that addition, it's another area where they do have quite a bit of talent. And not to say that you couldn't use another, sub pass rusher. The Eagles just won a Super Bowl with a deep, talented defensive line. You got their scraps. I mean, I think he's a good player, but you got the Eagles' scraps in Milton Williams, who was a rotational player in Philly. So I'm not saying you couldn't use another talented player, but that's not exactly a huge area need, is what I would say.
No, it's not. But, I mean, we've seen, unfortunately, Barmore kind of in and out of the lineup over the years. And if you're just having a little bit more depth, and even a guy like Milton Williams – what did he play, 48% of the snaps last year on defense, something along those lines? So some of the guys you have, a rotation can be pretty good. And if you're going to be relying on your defense, a player that talented, first of all, doesn't become available if it's not for something. Now, what it is pretty unique.
Well, according to Schefter, it's smooching guys on the head, yeah.
A little smooch here, smooch there.
An unwanted smooch on the head, yes.
Okay, well.
According to Schefter.
I wonder who that teammate is and if that teammate will come forward, because apparently he didn't really like what that was. And I also read sort of the team's human resources department got involved.
Yeah. They filed a claim with HR.
I mean, what is happening?
I've still been meaning to do that about Ken leaving me off the show text chain. I've still been meaning to do that.
Can you imagine if the 1990s Dallas Cowboys were like, hey, Charles Haley, you got to come down here to human resources. I mean, geez.
Could you imagine how overwhelmed the HR department would be for those Cowboys teams? Yeah, I mean, they probably did have an HR department that all quit. Never mind when you get to Jerry Jones on top of it.
Oh, right.
617-779-7937. Let's start it off today with our pal JP in North Providence. What's up, JP?
Jones, Keith, Jones, two quick Jones questions and then two O-line questions. As a vulture, do you need to hydrate? Are you taking TB12 water today, and are you wearing the flip-flops? Because that sun could burn you.
I'm definitely wearing flip-flops. You know what vultures do to stay cool? I believe they vomit on themselves, Keith, because I believe that's what a vulture does to stay cool. They vomit on themselves to drop their temperature. I believe I have that right. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
The missus didn't give you the hydration fluid, did she, just in case?
Nope, I get my water here, although I'm very skeptical sometimes of any bottles of anything that I'm handed. Yes.
Perfect. The O-line question, so are we saying that the Stone Age cannot protect Drake May already day two? And does it look more like C-Rex or Godzilla? How did he look there? Does he look small? Day one, what's your first impression?
Okay, body type-wise, Keith, any impressions of Will Campbell?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, look,
some of the other guys...
We can barely tell who's on the field from way up here, so I don't know that our eyesight on this is the most trustworthy, but I haven't noticed anything physically either, to be honest.
No, and I think kind of blends in with the other offensive linemen, and I say that it's sort of as a positive, whereas my first thought was like, oh, wow, Kyle Williams is smaller than I thought. Like, that's one thing that did jump out to me from up here.
I thought Henderson looked smaller than I thought, so I have noticed that about some players. I personally haven't noticed it with him, but we know he's small. Like, whether I've noticed it or not, we know he's small.
Yeah, but, like, I think just from, like, the eye test part of it, I haven't really been like, oh, wow, who's the small lineman?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Who's the child out there at left tackle?
No, it's nothing like that.
We haven't noticed that. Phil did write that Campbell yesterday stepped right up for early reps against Keon White, and the number 4 overall pick ended up on the ground twice. The first instance came at the tail end of a one-on-one run-blocking rep where White got underneath Campbell and threw him to the ground. The second came in a one-on-one pass rush period where White bull-rushed Campbell with both arms extended.
It's a little welcome to the NFL type of thing.
That's exactly what he wrote.
Oh, okay.
He said, welcome to the NFL, kid. Oh. He said, perhaps feeling Campbell's weight move under White's power, White yanked Campbell's chest plate, Campbell was caught off balance and fell forward while White breezed
chest plate
into the back. Oh, you're saying?
Throw the flag. Flag him.
Throw a little laundry out there onto the field. Okay. But that was what Phil wrote
yesterday. And you need to be prepared for that.
So to answer JP's question, sound a little more like Guardzilla rather.
Guardzilla.
Than C-Rex.
Okay.
617-779-7937. We got our eyes on all things Patriots here today. I had my eyes on 8.5 innings of the Red Sox last night, Keith.
Yeah, what happened?
To say I was surprised when I woke up is an understatement. Bad loss for the Sox last night and a weird, weird situation in Minnesota. We'll get to all of it with your phone calls next.